This morning I've read in your hearing from the Gospel of Matthew chapter number 6, and I've read verses 5 through 13. I'm going to want to focus our attention today on one of those verses, which is verse number 10. It is a part of what is often referred to as the Lord's Prayer. But I think Sunday before last, as I endeavored to preach to you on the title, The Lord's Prayer, I carried you to the Gospel of John chapter 17, which is actually and in reality the Lord's Prayer as Jesus talked to His Heavenly Father. And what is often referred to here as the Lord's Prayer, it is the Lord's Prayer in the sense that He taught us to pray and after this manner. And so it is really a pattern for our prayers. And there's a lot of wonderful teachings involved in this short prayer that Jesus gave as a model prayer. Now that model prayer begins at verse number 9 and concludes with the ending of verse 13. But I want to talk to you today, the Lord willing and blessing, on the will of God. My subject today, my title is, Thy Will Be Done. Thy will be done. Notice that in the 10th verse. Jesus said, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So I want to talk to you about the will of God being done. And I pray the Lord will bless us and help us. That will be found on 1348 in the Pew Bibles, page 1348, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 10. Would you look to the Lord with me in a moment of further prayer? Our dear God and our loving Father, if we were in continual prayer every day, every breath, we could never really pray too much. We're so thankful, Lord, that even though our prayer times are often interrupted by the various activities and things in life that we must deal with, we are thankful that we can come time and time and time again to Thy throne of grace. And sometimes we wonder how we ought to pray and what we ought to say. So help us today, Lord, to be able to understand the answer to those questions just a little bit better. Help me, Lord, to share with your people some things that Jesus has taught us in this passage before us. And I ask you to bless your word to every heart, whether inside or outside of this Thy sanctuary. We have all gathered here to worship you, Father. We have all gathered to study your word, to hear you speak to us. So, Lord, bless us all today to receive your word with understanding and with joy and gladness. Give me liberty to preach, Lord. I need that. All the years that I've been trying to preach, I've never learned how. I'm still trying to do the best I know how. But I also recognize and I have learned that without you, Lord, I can't preach. You have to give power to your word and power to your servant and power to your people who hear it. And then, O Lord, it's a true blessing to our hearts. So grant those blessings if they can please you today, Lord, and use us in this Thy service for Thy glory and the glory of Jesus. Lord, we've asked for you to bless your people everywhere. And those we know and love, we pray, bless them. Our family and loved ones and friends, bless them. Lord, just wherever there's a need, you know it. We may have family and friends and church folks that we don't know their needs, but you do. Yet we're taught to pray. But help us today to understand how we are to pray as Jesus taught us. For it is in His holy and wonderful name that we ask it all. Amen. By way of an introduction to my sermon this morning, I want to begin by saying that depending on how you divide the various thoughts that are in this model prayer will depend on how many sermons you think might be appropriately preached from it. And I'm not going to divide it even in verses today. I'm going to look at only a part of the 10th verse. Now, the first part of the 10th verse says, "Thy kingdom come." That's not really on my heart for today, so I'll leave that for another time. But what is on my heart is that Jesus taught us to pray to our Father in heaven and say, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." So we're praying for God's will to be done in earth as it is in heaven, where God reigns and where the angels are around the throne and where the spirits of just men are there and women and gathered there. And we are to pray that the will of God be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, I want to tell you a little bit the way I understand the will of God. It is my understanding, as I've studied the Bible over the years, that there are basically two aspects of God's will. There is that which is God's determined, ordained will. And yet there is also an aspect of God's will which we might call the permitted will of God. Things God allows to happen, though He has not specifically ordained them. Now let me differentiate between the two by going back to the very beginning of the Bible. We are told in the very first chapter of the book of the Genesis and the first verse that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And then He tells us that God said, in the third verse, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. That was God's determined, ordained will that God purposed to be done. God decreed it. And there are 10 times in that first chapter as God creates the world, 10 times the Bible said, God said, and every time God said it, something tremendous took place. That was God's decreed will. He purposed it, He ordained it, and it came to pass. Now, we might even look in a different way further down through the Scriptures and think, well, that's what God did in sending Jesus into the world. God ordained that His Son would come into the world to die for us because we are sinners, lost and undone. And when Jesus came into the world, it was ordained of God that He would save us by His shed blood and sacrificial death. That was in the great decreed plan of Almighty God. And God decreed things about this earth, for example, in Genesis 8:22, that as long as the earth stands, God said that there shall be seed time and harvest. There will be cold and hot, and there will be summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now, I tell you, I've heard over the years a lot of things. And one of the things I don't agree with, and a lot of people believe, I've heard it said again and again, well, you know, one day you just won't be able to tell one season, they'll just all be the same. I don't believe that. Because Genesis 8:22 says, as long as the earth remains, there are going to be seasons. Oh, I understand the earth has, you know, changed a little at times. Maybe we look at the melting of ice and all and a lot of the warming of the earth. And then there have been times when there were just heavily frozen times. It has cycles to it as I see it. So there are changes, you know, just like we do. We have cycles in life. and we are changed by them. But I believe as long as this earth, because I believe God ordained it, God purposed it, and it's going to be. Now, when he says as long as the earth stands, means that there's going to come a day when the world as we know it's not going to be here. Because Peter tells us there will come a day when the earth will be destroyed by fire. But until then, I believe there will be some seasons. There will be seed time and harvest, and there will be the cold and hot and the summer and the winter and the day and the night. In some form and fashion, it will remain because God decreed it. Now, on the other side of that coin, there are some things God has not decreed, but he has allowed to happen. They were not purposed by him. They were not things that God said he ordained to happen, but he allowed them to happen. He permitted them to happen. An example, second chapter of the book of Genesis, God said to Adam, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. 17th verse of second chapter. What happened in the third chapter? Adam ate it. The devil comes along and tempts Mother Eve. She looks at it. It looks mighty good. She thinks it will make her wise because of the lies the devil told her. And so she eats it and she gives to Adam and Adam eats it. Now God, I don't believe, ordained sin. But he allowed it. He allowed it to enter the world. I wish I knew more about God. I don't begin to scratch the surface. Don't want you to think I'm saying that. But sin came. He allowed it. But there was already a plan because he knew it was coming. And he planned for it. Chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Gave us to Christ the covenant of redeeming grace that in God's time he would come. And because we were lost in sin, because God permitted sin to come into the world, then God had a plan to rid us of the sin penalty. That would be his son Jesus come into the world. And so when it says, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, Matthew 1:21, that was ordained by God. The remedy of sin was ordained by God. I just don't understand that sin itself was ordained by God, but permitted by him. So we're dealing with a lot of different things as we deal with the will of God. Whether God ordained it, whether God permitted it. There are a lot of things that are going on in the world today. I don't think God ordained them. But I think as it was with Adam and Eve, God has allowed or permitted those sinful acts to take place in the world. So when we are taught to pray, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's a pretty significant statement. Well, let's think just for a moment at the end of this verse. As it is in heaven. What do you reckon is going on in heaven? As far as I can read in the Bible, there's no sin in heaven. We won't need a Savior up there, folks. Jesus won't have to die on the earth and then go die in heaven. Nothing in the Bible about him dying in heaven. There is no sin in heaven. Heaven is where God is. God's throne. Where Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father. I don't believe God has permitted sin there. The angels are the servants of God created for that purpose. They are his messengers and servants. And they're doing the will of God at the throne of our Heavenly Father. So my understanding is sin is here. Whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John 3:4. So what constitutes sin is breaking God's law, transgressing God's commandment. That's not in heaven. When we leave this old world and our life goes to be with the Lord, to wait the resurrection when our bodies will be raised and changed in the likeness and purity of Jesus, and we go home to heaven's glory forever and ever. There won't be any sin up there. Now, all these years of my reading and studying the Bible, I have to confess I don't understand it all yet. But I've never seen anything to indicate there'd be any sin in heaven. So that leads me to believe that what's going on in heaven is the will of God is being done. It's being done perfectly. And therefore we are to pray, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." That's what we ought to desire. I tell you, if the will of God was done more here in this world, the Bible tells us what His will is for us, this world would be a better place in which to live. Our problems doesn't come from what God teaches in the Bible. The problems of the world, the problems of our nation, the problems of our society are man-made problems, not divine. And if this old world was without sin, as heaven is, we wouldn't have any problems. But we don't. We do have problems because sin has been permitted. And Jesus tells us to pray, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Now, let me think about a little bit about the will of God being done in earth. Jesus is the only perfect example you and I have. I'm not going to point you to me to be a perfect example, because I know before God I'm not. And much as I love you, I'm not going to point at any of you as a perfect example, because I know from the Bible, and I believe what God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. So if you're sinners and I'm a sinner, none of us are perfect examples to look at. But there is a perfect example, and that's the only one who lived and walked on this earth without sin of his own, and that was Jesus. Left heaven, came in a body of flesh to this earth, lived and walked among men, and did no sin. And that's in 1 Peter 2:22. He never had a sin of his own, never committed a sin. Not a sin in thought, not a sin in word, not a sin in deed. He committed no sin. Let me tell you something this morning, and I believe this with all my heart. If Jesus Christ had ever committed one sin, He would not be our Savior. You know why? Doesn't take but one sin to make you a sinner. How many sins did Adam commit? First of all, there's only one sin. Don't eat of that tree. He ate of that tree. One sin. He became a sinner. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. Romans 5:12 tells us that. So, Jesus had no sin, not even one. He did the will of the Father on this earth. I remember, I believe it was John 6:38. He said, "I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me." Hebrews 10:7. "Lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do Thy will, O God." Jesus wanted to do the will of His Father. He didn't just want to, He did it, brothers and sisters. As He lived and walked on this earth, He did the will of God. And when He said to His disciples in John 13:15, "That I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you," when He washed their feet, He said, "I've given you an example." Why? Because Jesus is the only perfect example. And when Jesus came from heaven's glory, and that was a great sacrifice to make, to save us. We all want to go to heaven, don't we? We believe it's a better place. I do. No imperfections there. It's going to be wonderful. We're not going to find that on this earth. But Jesus left there, heaven, and came down here to this earth, where all the sin and all the trouble and all the problems that are going on down here. He left it and came down here to be mistreated, to be spit upon, to be slapped, to be beaten, to be whipped, to be crowned with thorns, to be nailed to an old rugged cross. And he endured it all. But he left heaven to come here because he wanted to do what? The will of the Father. The Father wanted Jesus to come and die for our sins and save us. And so Jesus said in the volume of the book, I understand that to be the Bible, I come to do thy will, O God. That's what he did when he came. When he died, he didn't die like, you know, we'll come to a time, we won't have a choice in it. There'll come a day, a time, God only knows when it is for you and me, there'll come a time when I'll have to die. Not a matter of whether I want to die or not, I'll have to die. You'll have to die. But Jesus wasn't a sinner and he didn't have to die. He willingly died because it was the Father's will. It was the only way we could be as God's children in heaven with him was for Jesus to come, the perfect one, and pay the price and the debt for us imperfect sinners on this earth. So he didn't have to die. And if they had chosen to live, they could have driven twice the nails in him and it wouldn't have killed him. You know how Jesus died? He laid down his life. He did it willingly and he did it lovingly for you and me and all God's children. On the cross, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And when he had thus spoken, he bowed his head. He gave up the ghost. That is, he died. And after a while, they took him off the cross. Buried him in a borrowed tomb. But he wouldn't stay there. He who laid down his life took it up again and rose on Easter Sunday morning. What a Savior. He did the will of the Father. He said he is giving us an example, and I believe with all my heart that all that Jesus did, everything was a perfect example for you and me and all those who call themselves Christians, which means to me like Christ-like, professing Christ. And so we have someone to follow who's perfect. We imperfect people can begin to live better lives because we've got someone better to follow than someone in the world. Because everybody in the world around us is going to make their mistakes. And we follow them, we're going to walk in the same mud and bog they walk into. But when we follow Jesus, it's not always an upward path because Jesus made no mistakes. And he who prayed, thy will be done, told us to pray, thy will be done. Remember as he faced the cross what he said in the book of Matthew. I believe it's chapter 26 and verse 39. Jesus knew the cross was coming. He prayed a very simple but profound prayer. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I wilt, but as thou wilt. You see, Jesus saw what was coming. He knew he's God. He knew what was coming. He knew before he left heaven and came to this earth what was going to happen. He's God. Second person in the Godhead. And as he looks toward it and he sees how horrible it will be to the body in which he dwells as he came to this earth. Father, if there's any other way, then I don't want to go that way. Nevertheless, I want thy will to be done. If this is the way you have ordained it, I will do it. And he who yielded to the will of the Father told us to pray, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know that our body is an earthly body or vessel, biblically speaking. We are of the earth. Why? What did God make Adam from when he created him? Made him of the dust of the ground. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But he's living in an earthen vessel. What happens when we die? It goes back to the dust. So you see, we are in an earthen vessel. Thy will be done in earth. In this little part of earth that's standing before you, I'm to pray, Father, thy will be done in this little bit of earth. And you ought to do the same for your life as you stand before God to say, Father, I want your will to be done in this little part of the earth that I call my body. I want your will to be done in my body. I want to live my life in the way you want me to live it. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now I want to add one little extra thought before I come to the end of my sermon. If we pray that way, there's an inevitable end that we're going to have to face. And that is that sometimes what God allows or determines, since I'm not God, I can't tell you which. Sometimes God may determine, as I called it when I was a boy, I get a whipping. And sometimes God may determine that we get a whipping. Because we need it to turn us. That's why my mother and father did it. They'd see me on the wrong path and they'd try to turn me from that path to the right path. Sometimes our Heavenly Father chastens us. What you going to do when that happens? It's rough sometimes. I never did enjoy the whippings I got, did you? I don't remember one that I liked. But I look back as an adult and I know they did me some good. There are things that's going to come to your life and mine. That's what I'm trying to tell you now that you may not like any more than a whipping as a child. But if God knows that's what you need to get you and keep you on the right path, God can do it. If God knows there are things that can touch your life that might be unpleasant for the moment, but they are going to strengthen us, even though maybe we're not on the wrong path at that moment and having to be turned. But we just need to be strengthened and made stronger in the Lord, and our faith needs to be stronger. And so we have to encounter some things that when we get through them, we are made stronger in our faith in God. Not pleasant, but to help us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord. 2 Peter 3:18. What you going to do about those times? They hurt. I'm going to tell you, this COVID time through which we have passed now and tomorrow, a year ago, was the last regular service we met and worshiped the Lord. We had some Sundays we couldn't gather. And then we had some Sundays where we gathered outside. Then after a while, we were able to meet inside and outside. It's been a year. Very difficult year. What do we say about it? Thy will be done. I don't know why. I don't have to know why. God's the only one who has to know why. But I don't think God would have permitted it if there wasn't a purpose in it. And if God permitted it, and listen, if God's sovereign, nothing can come unless God allows it. You hear me? Nothing overruns God. Nothing overtakes God. Nothing is more powerful and mighty than God. So all of these unpleasant experiences in our lives God either has to ordain them or permit them. And how we face them is the big question. We can get resentful. We can begin to think bad thoughts about God. Or we can simply say, as our Lord did, as He taught us to say, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." So, Father, if there's a purpose in this, if there's something that's going to be accomplished in this, then we face it as Jesus, not my will. I don't want it, Lord. I wish it hadn't happened. I wish it was over right at this moment and never came back. But I have to say, Thy will be done. God's will is always right. Don't be mistaken about that. The devil will lie to you. He'll tell you all kinds of things. He'll send people to tell you all kinds of things. It won't stand the test of the Word. They can't show you it in the Word. It's just what they think. And people have been thinking throughout the ages. Good thoughts and unfortunately bad thoughts. But we need to just find in our hearts the faith to say, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And it's not easy and it's not pleasant. But we have to trust in the Lord through it all. To just be doers of His Word as best we can. We ought to obey God rather than men. I've preached a sermon on that in Acts 5:29. James says, be doers of the Word, not hearers only. So what I preach to you, and you can read in the Bible, that's why I gave you Scriptures. Not just to show you I can remember it. I want you to know it. I want you to know where it is. I want you to read it in the Word of God. I'm not the authority. God's Word is the authority. If I just stand up here and tell you this, that, and the other, you know, every fleeting thought might be like throwing darts at a bullseye. I might hit it now and then and miss it most of the time. But when it's the authority of Scripture, it's always 100% of the time it's right. So yes, well, pray. He dealt with some frivolous prayers, I call them, you know. They stand on the street corners, you know, and they're praying to God, you know, people walk by. Look at that guy over there. Look at that guy over there. Oh, he must be mine. Not even religious, look at him. Jesus said, don't stand on the street corners, but get your closet. I don't know where your closet is. It doesn't have to be a literal closet. You'll have to take your clothes out of the closet. So that's my prayer closet. I read an old grandmother one time when she wanted to talk to the Lord. This is back when, like my grandmama, they had old big long aprons, and she'd sit in a rocking chair and take that old apron and throw it over her head. She couldn't see anything to distract her then. That was her prayer closet. I knew of a man that had a little tree stump out in the woods behind his house. He'd go out when he wanted to talk to the Lord seriously. He'd go out and sit on that tree stump and just have a heart-to-heart with God. Oh, there's some frivolous things about us and other people, but this is between us and God. So then he said, you know, you don't just make vain repetition. Now, if it's important, you want it done, repeat it. There's nothing wrong with that. But not just frivolous repetition, just to fill up time, just so you can have a longer prayer. They even do that. Ours should be meaningful words. And some of those meaningful words should be, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus taught us always that we ought always to pray. Luke 18:1. And this is a beautiful model prayer. And if you would study it, I've just scratched the surface of it. There's a lot of divisions in this little prayer, model prayer. But this is the one the Lord has put on my heart for today. I hope God will bless it in some little way to yours. And that as we face these difficult times, and there'll be others, if this goes away soon, there'll be others. It's difficult. Times that are hard on us. Are we going to get bitter at God? No. Not if we have faith. We just say, Father, If it be possible, let that pass, but if not, thy will be done, and not mine. I want your will done, and not mine. Lord, help us to think about what Jesus taught us when we pray. Is my hope and prayer for Christ's sake.